Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We had planned this week to study five women from the Old Testament. We're going to push that forward 1 week, Lord willing, to the future. Wanted to do a good job in presenting some information about five of Old Testament women characters that we have that were both engaged in doing good and being well-pleasing to the Lord, as well as sometimes making mistakes that we can learn from. We'd like to take time this week, Lord willing, to look at the book of James and the New Testament, and we would like to cover, Lord willing, a brief overview of the five chapters and information that will be very helpful to us in our walk with God. Now, James is indeed part of the canon, and there were those, and it is said that Martin Luther was interested in not having the book of James in the canon, that is, of the inspired writings of God. And some estimate that it has to do with some of the verses that are in chapter 2. And Lord willing, we may get to that today, but probably tomorrow. But indeed, James is in the Word of God. It is God-breathed. And we can be assured that God set things up in the very best way for us, meaning that God determined that it would be a written, closed data set, not a continuing revelation of the new covenant, but that we have the faith that was once for all delivered, past tense, just like Jesus was once for all sacrificed, that he died once for the sins of the world and does not have to continue to be sent to earth and die again on the cross and then a sacrifice. No, his sacrifice is perfect. It's complete. And we have the complete Word of God today. And so we should not be looking for modern day revelation, additions or subtractions from the law of liberty by which we'll be judged, as passages like Jude 3 talk about the faith once for all delivered, as we just mentioned. James chapter 1 verses 25 and chapter 2 verse 12 talk about the perfect law of liberty in chapter 1 and the law of liberty by which we'll be judged. And indeed, we have to have law in the gospel age, the last days, Hebrews 1 and Acts 2, these are the things that are fulfillment of prophecy, and that in these last days in which we live, the gospel age, from Acts 2 Pentecost forward till Jesus comes again, and then there'll be the resurrection, and the kingdom will be given up to the Father, the saved of all time, from Adam forward, will be given to the Father and presented in heaven. So shall the evil depart into an everlasting place of punishment that is prepared for the devil and his angels. There are only those two places of eternal abode, and we'll talk more about that in lessons to come. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this week, Lord willing. In James 1, James identifies himself as an author and says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So this is primarily, originally given to a Hebrewistic, that is, those that were of Jewish nationality. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And it is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof or rebuke, for correction, in order to correct our mistakes and let us know where we're wrong and need to change, for instruction in how to be righteous before God. Not that we of our own can merit it, but God does demand that we live soberly, godly and righteously in Titus 2 verses 10 through 12. We need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in repenting and reforming our lives in order to be well-pleasing. And if someone tells you that you cannot be righteous when God is telling us to be ye holy even as I am holy, and that it has nothing to do with meritorious works, but rather we are created, Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10, unto good works in Christ Jesus, that we can be considered righteous and in fellowship with the Godhead above. There are many people that disagree on this particular point of teaching in the Bible, and we need to give it much more depth in time to come. James is writing to brethren in Christ Jesus. He says in James 1 verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Now, we could camp out on this particular verse for the remainder of our study, and it would be very profitable. But we're going to do a thumbnail sketch if we can, and try not to do too many deep dives as we go through chapter 1 in the time that we have. Know this much from a casual reading of that verse, that it is part of God's truth, part of God's holy word, that the testing of our faith throughout our entire lifetime is of benefit to human beings. Oh, we might not always like the way in which our faith is tested, but we should realize it is for our good. And everything that God does for mankind is for our good, even if it's disciplinary or a chastening or a tested. God is said to have tempted Abraham. This is a paradox, because other passages in the Bible say God tempts no man. And the word has to be properly understood that is translated tempted back in the books of Genesis when it's talking about God and Abraham. It was testing him. Not tempting him to sin, but testing him. Very much like, as I've heard the illustration for years, that an engineer and an architect might work together to design and have a bridge built. You're going to be the first one to drive across the bridge? You might be. But the bridge needs to be tested after its construction to see if it can stand the test, if it can bear the load. And then the sign will be erected beside the bridge that says "Bridge ahead," and it will say "Capacity." And it may be that something heavier than that load, 10,000 pounds, 30,000 pounds, whatever the capacity of that particular bridge will be. But that bridge needs to be proved, if you will. Proven to be worthy for opening up that traffic might go back and forth across that bridge. So it is that we become better as individuals. As Christians, our faith is made stronger and more mature if we will consider that when we fall into various trials, the trying of our faith or the testing of our faith produces patience. And patience is very important because we're in a marathon to the end of our life or until Jesus comes, whichever comes first, in our spiritual journey with God, with faithful brethren, against Satan and his forces unto the death. Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful until," some translations say, or "unto death." And in the particular folks to whom John was writing by inspiration, they were going to possibly face up to and including physical death like Stephen did for the cause of Christ. And yet, if you be faithful for all the days of your life, whether your death comes as a result of your faith in being a Christian and standing up for Christ and not being willing to back down and being killed like Stephen, or if it is you are faithful unto the end and live a short or a happy life and your life is taken in some other way, dying of natural causes or some accidental death or whatever the number of cases we could illustrate, we need to have our faith unto the end. Christianity is not a bench warmer type of adventure. and venture and journey. By all means, it is an adventure. We could make a really good lesson out of that, couldn't we? If any of you lacks wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. The Bible teaches us many things about prayer, but we can't ask for necessarily knowledge. We have to study to get knowledge, but we can ask God in prayer for wisdom, and God hearing the prayers and answering prayers today will do so, as the Bible teaches, as he wills. We need to let patience, verse 4, have its perfect work, that is, its mature and complete work, that we may be perfect, that is, mature and complete, lacking nothing. We need to be careful when we do pray that we ask in faith, verse 6, with nothing doubting, for he that doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. So just because we pray for something, we can't automatically assume that these verses are teaching in any way, shape, form, or fashion that we'll receive. No, we have to ask in faith. It has to be according to God's will. It may not be exactly at the time and place that we think that we'll get an answer to our prayer. The answer may be yes. It may be no. It may be maybe. It may be wait. And people get mad at God because God doesn't do things on our timeline. No, we need to realize the wisdom of God should reign. Also, we have this wonderful instruction. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Have you ever known anyone like that? We need to be careful and not be the double-minded man or woman. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive, notice, the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempting of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Notice, this is a type of temptation that this word tempted, that's translated into the English from the original language Greek, the Koine Greek, is talking about in this context. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it is full grown, brings forth death, which would be spiritual death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be, here it comes, swift to hear. God gave us two ears, one mouth, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. These are gems in chapter 1 of James. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Why? Which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, gives way, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, there it is, and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Chapter 1 of James. What a wonderful study and a wonderful reading. Tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day.